Door. Y'all look tired. I tell you what, I found muscles I didn't realize that I had, and I didn't work nearly as hard as half of you guys did, so I understand being tired. Well, as you see, we have our kids here with us this morning, and they're going to open us up with a really great song they learned in VBS. I liked it so much that I might try to learn it. We'll see. I don't know for sure yet, but I really like this song. But before we do that, let's stand up and open up with a word of prayer. Dear Lord God, I thank you and I praise you, God. I praise you, Lord, that you blessed us with a wonderful vacation Bible school this year, God, that you blessed us with children from all over the place to come and allowed us to teach them your word and put them in our care, God. I thank you and I praise you for that. And I thank you for all the many wonderful things that happened during that time, God. And Lord, I thank you for your word. And I thank you that we can come here and praise you this morning, God. Lift up your holy name. And I pray that everything we say and do, God, it points to you. And that we praise you and we love you and we thank you, Lord. And Lord, as I said, I thank you for your word that our pastor Larry is going to bring us this morning. I ask that the anointing of your Holy Spirit will be upon him, that he speaks mightily through your word to us this morning and change us into what you want us to be, Lord. And I thank you for it all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. All right, now we all wouldn't mind singing along with our kids. There's a name above all names. Guys, these kids learned that song on Thursday, I think, and today is Sunday, and I still wake up hearing that song in my head every single morning. But the thing is, I love it. Name above all names. Amen. All right, so we're going to get back to worship. So.
There's some music going on in our headsets. Leslie, thank you.
All right, got it. All right, yeah, electronics.
Creation. And all
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation, you did not despise the cross. For even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for our sake you from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored, and the Church of Christ was born. Then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of all shall not kneel, shall not.
Forever to the King of Kings. Lord God, we just thank you. You are so worthy. You are so worthy to be praised. Lord, we just come to this time, Lord, to give this worship to you. Lord, we ask that your Spirit come and you will infuse this worship time. You infuse your word with your Spirit. It will move mightily among us, Lord. And that we, by your word, as Mike said earlier, that we would be changed. Lord, we would become more into your likeness, that we would become to look more like you. So, Lord, we just ask your blessings upon this worship. We ask your blessing on this worship of the giving of our tithes and your offerings. Lord, we ask that you increase those, Lord, you increase them, that they reach further and farther with the gospel. And this church would be the base in which that happens. But we would go out of here and out there and spread the word of the great news of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we just ask your blessings upon this offering. We ask that you bless both gift and the giver. And Lord, I ask that you also would bless me, that you would allow me to speak your word today. It would be a privilege if you would allow that. If I am not the one to speak your word today, that you would silence my lips, rise up the one to speak for you in my place for you. Why? Again, it's for your glory and for your honor. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It was a great week at VBS, as always. It was good. It was exciting. I believe it was blessed by God, and it was also tiring and taxing, but in a good, positive way. And I don't even know what the actual enrollment was. Do you remember what it was, Leslie? Okay, so total was 147 registered, and it was 90-something every night. Okay. Well, yeah, we're competing with baseball and things like that. So, but anyways, I pray that it was all for God's glory, amen. When people say, why do we do VBS? Why so much emphasis on VBS? Listen, the time to get the minds is here. Because a lot of times when they get here, they've already decided which way they're going to go. But listen, I think that God has blessed it. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. I've entitled this sermon, Choose to Obey God. Choose to Obey God. Now, if you got your copy of God's Word, turn there in Joshua 5. And I want you to listen as you do that. I want you to listen to Chip Ingram. Pastor and a great Bible teacher in his book called Holy Transformation. And he talks about how Christians struggle in the Christian walk. He talks about how Christians struggle in the Christian walk. And as I say this, I would read this to you. I want you to remember that the Lord says we are to be in the world, but we as Christians are not to be of the world. We're not to be part of that, you know, in what they're doing. So here, I want you to read this out of his book, Holy Transformation. Listen to what he says. He says the divorce rates among believers and non-believers are about the same. We're about the same as the world. Involvement in pornography traps as many believers as non-believers in about the same numbers. And it is. It's a problem. Parenting problems plague families about equally, those inside the church and those outside the church. Money matters seem to overwhelm believers and non-believers at the same rate. We're worried about money, right? The best research indicates that among all the believers that live in America, only some 10% live out their faith in a way that really makes a difference in their lifestyles and values. Do you hear what he said? Only some 10% live out their faith in a way that really makes a difference in their lifestyle and values. The people who make up this 10% are not perfect. Amen? The people who make up this 10% are not perfect, but in the midst of all of the normal struggles that we all face in a fallen world, Christ owns their finances. He owns their relationships. He owns their time. He owns their priorities. They parent His way. They relate His way. They are pure His way. And they are single His way. 10%. Now, what Chip Ingram is saying is that in the midst of life, all the ups and all the downs, all the stuff, expected or unexpected, there are a few Christians who are completely obedient to the will of God. People who try their best to be as obedient to everything that God tells them to do. You know, I go under that scripture that says, I set out to do the right thing. Those things I set out to do right, those are the things I do not do. You know that? We struggle, right? Some people try their best. Now, that's exactly Joshua right there. There are some people who try their best to be as obedient to everything that God tells them to do. This is Joshua right here. Now, if you got your Bibles open to Joshua chapter 5, I want to just show you something in the book of Joshua, because Joshua now is personally in a time of change. He is in a time of change. He has spent time there with the rest of the Hebrews in a time of preparation. We covered that over the last couple weeks. He's been through that time of preparation. Now it's about time for execution of God's plan to take possession of the promised land. And I want you to just look at this. Now, if you are not careful, you will miss in 5 chapters what is so obvious that you will overlook it. You know, sometimes, especially men, and my wife will go send me for something, look for something. I say, honey, it's not here. I put it there. No, honey, it's not here. And she'll walk downstairs and she'll go, yeah? Sometimes things are so obvious that we will overlook it, and that is this. God commands, this is in the first 5 chapters, God commands, Joshua obeys. God commands, Joshua obeys. God commands, Joshua obeys. It's the whole theme of these first 5 chapters. God says, do this, and Joshua does it. Do this, and Joshua does it. Solid obedience. Now, just hold on to that. Hold on, hold that for a moment, and let me talk about when you have settled down a bit, right? When in your life, when you have settled down a bit from whatever life has thrown at you, you've slowed up a bit, right? Anybody there? You've been through some stuff in your life, right? Yes. Yeah, you've been through some stuff in your life, and now it's come to a point it's just kind of slowed up a bit, right? Or you're in the midst of that stuff, right? But you've been in a period of preparation, so to speak. You've been waiting on God, and now it's time to move forward. It's time to move forward. Listen, it's very important that there is a time to move forward. And if Chip Ingram is right, and I suspect that he probably is, that there is only a very small number of Christians that make it through the tough stuff that God wants to lead you through in complete obedience to God. Let me say that again. There's probably a very small number of Christians that make it through the tough stuff that God wants to lead you through in complete obedience to Him. And because of that, most of us never experience the victory. None of us ever experience true joy. Meaning this, we never experience the things that God has for us. We don't. And it all has to dwell in obedience. We never experience the things that God has for us because we get in a life circumstance and we get stuck. It sounds like this. I got myself into a rut and I can't get out. Right? Anybody ever feel like your life is in that rut? Yeah, right? I'm in this rut and I can't get out. And we can't figure it out. It's confusing, and we say, Lord, I don't understand this. Logically, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand why you're doing what you're doing. It doesn't make sense to me. And so we just don't do it. We just don't. We don't seek God's will, and we don't seek to have obedience to Him. And because of that, we suffer. We just simply don't understand it, so we don't do it. But that was not Joshua. Joshua was obedient. Now let me ask, what do you want in those times? Those times when you're in that rut and you're stuck in the middle of that. What do you want in those moments? In those moments when you are confused. In those moments when it doesn't seem logical. And those things don't seem to be going right after in your life. In fact, they just keep, seems like they just keep going wrong. And you think, God, I want to be obedient. I really do. Isn't that what I said when I opened up? I want to be that guy. I want to do the right thing. But that's the end of the thing I don't do is the right thing. And you think in those times, I do want to be obedient, right? We do. I really do. Listen, I find that most people in the church want to be obedient, but we just struggle with this and we are not sure. So the question is, in those confused and uncertain times, is what is it that you want in those moments? What is it that you want? Is it not, or don't you want the presence of God? Don't you want to experience that? Yes, amen, right? God, if I can't figure out, if it's not logical, it doesn't make sense to me. Okay, so I'm not real sure what to do. I'm not real sure what to do. If I could just know that you're here, Lord. If I could just know, Lord, if you would just let me know that you're here, right here by me in the midst of all this. If I could just experience you, I think I could walk in obedience in and through this time of my life. I think I could do that, Lord, if I could just experience you. And that's what we really want, right? Let's be honest. That's what we want. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. In the midst of difficult circumstances, in the midst of not knowing what to do, when you are staring down a giant, and I know that for a fact that some of you in this place, as I'm looking around, at this current moment, you're staring down a giant. When you are staring down a giant and you don't know what's coming next, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what the end game is going to be. You don't know how it's going to play out, right? You don't know what's coming next. The truth is this. If you are to know the presence of God, there must be obedience to God. Let me say that again. If you are to know the presence of God, if you are to experience the presence of God, there must be obedience to God. And I know we have been talking about this a lot in this study. And you know what? That's because we struggle with it. We struggle with it. Christians struggle with it. I'm not talking about the lost world. I'm talking about Christians. We struggle with this. And it beats us up spiritually. It gives us a spiritual beating. And it leads to spiritual bondage to serve ourselves instead of the Lord's will and way in our lives. Yes, we want to be obedient. But again, if Chip Ingram's assessment is correct, we don't take obedience seriously. So if you truly want to know the presence of God, truly know it, then there must be obedience to His word and His ways. And let me let you in on something. Obedience will bring the experience of the presence of God in your life. Let me say that again. Obedience to God will bring the experience of the presence of God in your life. So first, today, and then we'll finish this up next week, because I think for today this is all that we're going to be able to take, right? So today what I want you to see in the life of what is going on with Joshua, what's going on in his life, and I want you to understand that when there is an obedience, listen, we can experience, and whatever it is that is happening, whatever it is, when there is obedience, we can experience the self-revelation of God. I want you to look at that with me, and I want you to see this experience of the revelation of God. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Joshua chapter 5, beginning there in verse 13, and look what it says. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. Now let me tell you what that means right there and what it is said in that one little thing right there. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. Joshua is to the other side now. He's to the other side. He's over. He's crossed over. He's been through the time of preparation. He's there. And God's going to execute something in his life. Joshua is to the other side now. He is to the other side. And he knows that they are going to have to conquer the land, right? There's going to be battles ahead of him. He's going to conquer the land. So he goes out and he begins to do what great generals do. Now, I know there's some military men in here as I look around, but he does exactly what great generals would do. He goes out and he surveys the land. He goes out to see. He goes out and takes a look. He surveys. He takes an assessment. What does the battlefield look like? Keeping in mind, now look, he had probably been to Jericho 40 years earlier. Him and Caleb went and spied out the land, remember? So but he leaves Gilgal. He leaves his home base now, and he was going to survey the land. You know, all great generals really do that. I mean, today we have satellites and stuff that makes it easier for them, right? But all great generals really do that. Generals MacArthur and Patton were masters of this. That's why, regardless of their rank, they would go out and look for themselves. They would go scope it out because great generals do that. That's what they do. And that's exactly what Joshua was doing. So he goes out now to look. Now, let me show you how important that is. I want to show you why that's so important. God said, now you are going in and you are going to take this land. That's what this command is. This is what you're going to do. You're going to go in and you're going to take this land. So he goes out. Now, let me show you the contrast right here. He goes out to survey, and I'm going to show you the contrast. Put your finger right there and go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. And I want you to listen to something. 2 Samuel chapter 11. You know this, and you'll know it when I begin to read it right away. You'll pick up on it. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. It says this. And it happened in the spring of the year at the time when the kings of the battle that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel. And they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Raboth. But David remained in Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman. Now let's just stop right there. There's a problem. Now, you all know this is King David walking out, right? And he's looking on the rooftop while his army had went out to go to battle, right? Which he should have been with them, right? Every good general goes and surveys. Now, do you see the contrast there, though, what I'm trying to tell you? You've got one general, Joshua, going and doing what he's supposed to be doing. That's on one hand. And then you've got, on the other hand, you've got another general, David, who in boredom, right? I think it's boredom. He gives the job to someone else. He delegated it to someone else, and he stays back. You almost get the sense that David was bored. I don't know about you, but I do. And in that, he falls into great sin. He falls into great sin, adultery, fornication, murder, lying, right? All of this. And it's tragic what happens here. And we wonder, and we step back and we wonder as Christians, even to this very day, we wonder as Christians, how did I get myself into this mess? What did I do? I get this a lot as a pastor. I don't know what I did to tick God off. I get that all the time. People come in my office. It's not once, it's not twice, it's several times. I don't know what I did to tick God off. I don't know what I did to make him mad. How did I get myself into this mess? Or on the other hand, this is what happens. We blame God, don't we? We blame God. Why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me, God? What did I do? Why are you doing this to me? Well, most likely, you are in the mess you are in because you are not doing what you know you should be doing. Now, I know you don't like me right now, right? You don't like me. Let me show you. You're in a mess that you're in most likely because you're not doing what you know you should be doing. And for most Christians, we don't want to consider this truth, and we don't want to hear it. That's the truth. You want to know why? Because I don't want to hear it either. I don't like it. But now watch. Joshua's out. Watch. And he's out looking now. He's investigating. the lay of the land, right? As he should be. And the Bible says this. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says this back in verse 13 of Joshua 5, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite of him with his sword drawn in his hand. So here they are. He's out. He's beginning to walk out to survey the land, and he looks, right? And he looks out, and he sees this soldier. Joshua looked over, and he saw this warrior. That's how he appeared to Joshua. He saw this warrior, right? And when Joshua sees him, that's what he understands him to be. This is a warrior, and he is in battle formation. He's ready for battle. He's in battle formation. Sword is drawn, right? His sword is already drawn. And so what does Joshua do? What would you do? What would this Joshua do? And look what it says. And Joshua went to him. Do you see that? I don't know if I've ever really paid much attention to that before this week, really. But I got to looking at it, and Joshua went up to him. Do you know what you call that? Courage. Good old-fashioned courage. Facing what you don't know, he went up to it. Now, if somebody walks in here, now imagine we don't have guns, right? None of us are carrying, none of us have that. We don't have security or anything like that. Now, if somebody walks in here and they've got a drawn sword, I'm not sure how many of us would just go up to him and approach him. Would you? Well, Joshua goes up to him. And let me show you something here. And I know that I'm throwing a lot of these little things at you, but look back to Joshua chapter 1. Do you remember three times when God told Joshua, be strong and courageous? Remember that? Verse 6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Look what he says, do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Who is here is a born-again believer in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and trust him in their salvation. Do you understand he is with you wherever you go? Amen. Now, what I want you to see in verse 5, right, is this. Because in verse 5, chapter 1, this is what you're going to find. Look what he says. No man shall be able. No man shall be able. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Now, I want you to notice that it does not say no man will stand against you. That's not what it says. It does not say no man will stand against you all the days of your life. That's not true. Because listen to me very carefully. When you're in transition, there is always opposition. When you're in transition, God's going to do something in your life. God is doing something in your life. When there is transition, there is always opposition. Like when you get a new boss. Somebody changes how you do something. You always have somebody complain. Oh, we shouldn't do it that way. We should do it this way. Listen, whenever there is transition, there's always opposition. I want you to get that. Wherever there is transition, whenever God is moving you through something and you are trying to get through it, the fact that he's trying to get you through it intact, he's trying to get you through it in obedience, even in your obedience to the Lord, there is always opposition in spiritual battles. There is always spiritual battles that will come to believers in transitional times. Yes. Look at Jesus Christ. He was doing the will of God perfectly. Did he have opposition? Spiritual opposition? Physical opposition? Yes. And you are about to see a huge battle take place in chapter 6 here. You're going to see a huge battle come along in chapter 6. And so God comes and he says, no man will be able to stand. But get this truth. There's a vast difference between no man will stand against you and no man will be able to stand against you. Big difference in that. So why will they not be able to stand against you? Well, listen to what God says. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise. That's a promise. I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Now, I am convinced that this sunk down into the soul of Joshua. I believe this. I believe it was sunk down into him. And that's why he acted in courage. And he went over to the man, right? He knew that God said, I will not leave you or forsake you. He knew that God would be with him. So he had courage. So he went over to the man, right? And he looked at the man. And he's going to ask this guy a question. He's going to ask this warrior a question. So Joshua went up to him because, listen to something very carefully. Here, you want to get this. When you fear God, you don't need to fear anything else. When you fear God, you don't need to fear anything else, right? So Joshua goes up to the man, and he goes up to the man. Listen to what he says to him, verse 13 of Joshua 5. Look what he says. And said to him, Joshua said to him, Are you for us or for our adversaries? So Joshua goes up there and he says, Whose side are you on? Are you on their side or are you on our side? What side are you on? Who are you fighting for here? Now, I want you to listen to me for just a minute, Christians. I want you to listen to me for just a minute because this is where most of us live in our Christian life. Most of us live in this very place in our Christian life as if we are constantly trying to get God on our side. Yes. That's where most of us Christians live, including me. I'm guilty of it too. I'm not pointing fingers at you. If I'm pointing at you, I got several pointing back at me, all right? Listen, most of us live our Christian life here. Most of us live in this very place. God, this is what I want you to do. God, this is what I want you to do. This is my will, God. This is what I want to happen. This is what I want you to do. This is what I want to do. And I want to do this, and I want you to do this for me. This is what I want to be involved in. This is the direction I want for my life. This is the direction I'm going to go in. And now, God, we pray this. We pray this all the time. Now, God, I just want you to bless it. This is what I want from you. This is what I want you to do. Now you bless it. I want you to bless it. I want you to honor it. And I want you to be in the midst of it. This is my will for you, God. You do this for me. This. And this is how I want it to happen. No amens. Oh, me. And we don't ever stop and say, now, God, let me ask you, Lord, what is your will for me? What do you want from me? Now, if you ever come to prayer meeting, I do that all the time, right? Sometimes I'll say, we've asked God for a lot of stuff. God bless this, heal that, do this, do that. Now, let's take some time and ask God what he wants from us. What do you want from me? In this situation, Lord, what do you want from me? In this that I'm going through, what do you want from me? What is your way for me? What is it you want from my life, Lord? What is it that you want from me? How is it that you want me to respond? How do you want me to respond in this? You know, in every situation that you're in right now, God can tell you how to respond in it. Go look at his word. How is it you want me to respond? What are the things that you want me to be involved in? And Lord, if you tell me, and then I'll go get involved in that. Oh, will you really? Will you really? Last week we talked about a whole nation that got circumcised because God commanded them to. And I related that to today. The circumcision is in our heart. When we get involved in what God tells us to be involved in, and we do and go the way God tells us to go, which his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts, if we do that, that automatically causes the blessing of God. Do you understand that? It does. But unfortunately, the truth most often is we look at God and we say, God, we're going to do this and we want you to bless it. And we want you on our side. Who doesn't? Amen. I want God on my side. Do you? Right? We want God on our side of our will. We want God on the side of our will, what we want. I mean, let's be honest, is it truth or not? Isn't it true that in the arguments and fights and disagreements of life, as Christians, we are constantly saying, now God, you defend me and you get on my side. Well, I understand that, but when in the midst of it, we always want God on our side. We want the one to be right, because I want you to prove to everyone else how wrong you are. I want everybody else to understand I'm right, you're wrong. I want everybody to understand how right I am. Now, what you're saying is this. It's not that I want God's glory in this. That's not what you're saying in that. It's not that I want God's glory. It's that I want my glory. I want my glory. I want everybody to be made aware that I'm right and God is on my side. And I'm going to use the scripture to beat you with it so you understand it. You know where we do it most often? Seriously, do you know where we do this most often? Marriage. Don't we? God, be on my side. God, be on my side. Just let her or him know that I'm right in this situation. He needs to understand I'm all right in this. Or she needs to understand this situation. I'm all right as. And you know what? We do that in church as well. We do that with fellow believers. I've seen it. I've experienced it in this church. We do that with fellow believers. I want God to prove to everybody how right I am. I was just walked in on Tim's class briefly during VBS there that one day, and they had a very, very hard topic they were talking about. And one of the things I said, look, it's not about us being right. It's about us knowing truth. It's not about me being right and you being wrong. It's about us knowing truth. Now, let me ask, who are you asking God to glorify when you do this? You or himself? Well, if it is God, would you pray? If it is God, then this is what you would be more like you would praying. Dear Lord, open my mind and theirs to see your truth, right? Open my mind and their minds that we will see your truth. It's not my side, it's not their side, but God, that we'll see the truth of your side. But the truth is, we spend so much of our Christian life, instead of submitting to the will of God, is that we do our own will and we beg God, get on my side. We beg him, we'll repeatedly ask him, do what I want you to do. Now listen to what the man said, this warrior said to Joshua, because this is who this warrior is. Look at verse 14. He said, no. Joshua asked him, whose side are you on, ours or theirs, remember? So he said, no. Now, he's saying, I'm not for you and I'm not for them. He said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. This is so important. And we need to get this and register to this in our Christian lives and our minds. Now, I'm going to tell you in a moment who I believe this is, and I think you probably already believe it the same thing. But he says this literally. The word in the Greek means prince, right? He says, no, I'm the prince of the army of the Lord. And it's prince is what it means, is prince. And that's what he tells him. And essentially what he tells him is this: I'm not here to be on your side or to be on their side. I'm not here to be on either one of your guys' side. This is powerful stuff, folks, I'm telling you. He's telling Joshua, I'm here, and you better decide to be on my side. Because my power outweighs both of your powers. And I'm the Prince of Peace. I'm the Prince of God, right? He's looking and he's saying, you better be on my side. But maybe it would be better said like this. It's just the great I am is here. The great I am is here. So you'd better decide to be on my side. And that's a word for all of us here today. Wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, whatever the obstacle, whatever the mountain, whatever the battle, get on his side. Don't beg him to get on your side. Get on his side. It's like when they came to Lincoln in the Civil War and they interviewed him and they asked Lincoln this question. They asked him, is God on the Union side? And Lincoln responded with one of the greatest responses any president ever gave to a question like that. I'd like to see, could you imagine if somebody went up to the President Biden today and said, hey, is God on our side? Could you imagine? I'm not trying to be political here. I'm just saying, could you imagine what the response would be? He responded to one of the greatest responses ever given to a question. He said, I'm not concerned whether or not God is on the Union side. He said, I'm not concerned whether he's on the Union side. My great concern is that the Union is on God's side. And so the commander of the Lord's host comes and he says, listen, I'm not on their side, I'm not on your side, but you better get on my side because I've come here to take over. When Jesus came, he said, I came to overcome the... Oh. And that's what the warrior of this Lord is saying. He's saying, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to take this thing over. I'm here to take over this thing. So you look at that, and do you see what's happening here? Out of a life of obedience, now watch it, I'm going to pull it together, all right? Out of a life of obedience, Joshua goes out, and I've already given you all those clues, but this is not an angelic being standing here. Joshua goes out, and he encounters a theophany. You like that big word? He encounters a theophany, that is the visible manifestation of God to humans. The visible manifestation of God to humans. A theophany, or a Christophany, which is the visible manifestation of Christ, the Son of God, to humans. So this is the commander of the host of the Lord. This is the commander of the host of the Lord. This is the captain, the leader, the commander of the armies of heaven. This is the one who will say to Peter, I can ask my Father, and he will put 12 legions of angels at my disposal. I command them, they are my army. So Joshua, here's what happens. Joshua catches a revelation of God. He catches a revelation of God. Now, listen to me, friends. Is that what you want in your situation? Is that not what you want when you're going through some of the toughest things in life? Don't you want to know God's presence is there with you? Listen, obedience to God brings that. Obedience to God brings that. And I'm going to show that to you in the New Testament. Turn with me to John chapter 14. And John chapter 14, I want you to listen to what Jesus says right there. It's a great word, in fact. He's talking to his disciples. Jesus is talking to his disciples, teaching them about the role of the Holy Spirit. And listen to what he says there. John chapter 14, verse 21. John 14, verse 21. Look what he says. He who has my commandments. Isn't there a big thing in the news about commandments right now? He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. So the question comes, how do you know that you love the Lord? How do you know? How do you know do you love him? We call ourselves Christians, right? We're followers of Christ, right? How do you know that you love the Lord? Well, according to this, you know that you love him because you keep his commandments. That's what Jesus says. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. It is that person who loves me. And he who loves me, look, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. Oh, look at what coming. Look at what coming. I will love him and manifest. I will reveal, cause to be visible, to show. I will love him and manifest myself to them, to him. Now, you know what Jesus is saying here? He's saying this. He's saying, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Let's go home. That's simple. That's what he's saying. If he easier said than done, right? He's saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if you keep my commandments, I will reveal myself to you. You will see me. He's saying, you keep my commandments, you'll see me. You'll experience my presence in the midst of whatever you're going through. That if you are being obedient to me, I'm going to reveal myself in some way to you. I don't know what way that is. I don't know how that's going to happen. But God says, I'm going to reveal myself in some way to you, to lead you and to guide you. That's what the commandments are. They're a leading. They're a guide, right? So what God is saying here, he is saying, you follow my plan. Uh-oh. What God is saying here, you follow my plan, not me follow yours. Let me transform you, not you transform me. Let me mold you, not you mold me. You become obedient to my call, and you will experience my presence among you. Now remember, since chapter 1, Joshua has been obedient to whatever God has asked him to do. Very important for you to pick that out. Since chapter 1, Joshua has been obedient to whatever God has asked him to do. So therefore, we can say that Joshua was following the ways of God. And in return, because of that obedience, he was experienced the presence of the Lord in a very powerful way. Very powerful way. So let me ask you, can you say that same thing today? Are you having any crossing the Jordan moments in your life? Has God been doing any restoration work in your life? Like bringing you back into fellowship with himself? I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about with Christ. You can't be back in fellowship with the church until you're back in fellowship with Christ. Is he bringing you back into fellowship with himself like he did with the Hebrews and circumcision and the Passover? Has the Lord been calling you back to himself? Maybe you once walked close to the Lord, but now your walk is distant from him. Is he calling you back? Has God asked you lately to stop something you've been doing? We always want to put the emphasis on doing, but maybe God has asked you to stop something that you've been doing and to start something in your spiritual life that you stopped doing. Are you being obedient to God's call and direction in your life? Listen, if you are in that place where you are not experiencing God, then most likely you need to surrender something to him. Let me say that again. If you're in that place where you're not experiencing God, then most likely you need to surrender something to him. And that something, and I'm talking from experience, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking from experience. And usually that something is something you don't want to surrender. And listen, for some of you, that something that you need to surrender is yourself. You need to surrender yourself to His Lordship, to let Him lead you through this life and beyond in victory and joy. Listen, I'm not saying nothing bad is ever going to happen, but you can have joy and victory in whatever it is. You know, unless there's a relationship, a love for God, there will most likely never be a surrender to follow His ways. Isn't that what they had to do coming through 40 years? They had to come to that point of repentance and surrendering. You have to come to a place of surrendering before you ever experience the presence of God in your life. Let me ask you this. Would you ask God today to give you the faith to believe and to trust in Him? Would you ask God to do that? And say, Lord, would you give me the faith and believe, the faith to believe and to trust in you? That you could, that Lord, that you would give me faith, that you could have a faith and courage. Listen, when I gave myself to the Lord, I didn't know everything about God. Listen, I'm 40 years in now, close to it. I still don't know everything about the Lord. But I want to know more. Would you ask Him to give you faith and courage to follow His ways, His direction in your life? And for you Christian sitting here this morning, your great hope is in this. Most likely there were some 3 million Hebrews in Joshua who repented for turning away from God and His ways. And He forgave. And He forgave and restored the relationship and the power of His presence among them. So if He did that for them, then will He not do it for you too? I mean, after all, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. His love and mercy and grace is for you. You personally, it is for you if you will come back to Him. Isn't it so awesome and great that we always have a God we can come back to? Amen. Let me ask you, will you come? That's the obedience part. Will you come? Let's stand. Father God, you know, Joshua was doing what he knew he should be doing, and the presence of God was up on him to help him and to guide him and to protect him. So the question is, how about you today? Are you here this morning, this afternoon? Are you looking for direction today? You're wondering. Maybe you're looking for direction today. Then seek Him, His will, His way above your own. That's hard. But seek His will and His way above your own. And how do you do that? You get involved in His word. You get involved in His work. You get in His work and His will. And the commander will manifest himself to you, and you will experience His presence. And there you will find victory and joy. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, I pray that your spirit just come mightily and fall over this place, Lord, and that we who need to surrender, we who need to give something up that we know we shouldn't be doing or having, ways that we're not following you that we should be, Lord, that we would come, Lord. Maybe we're breaking one of those commandments. Lord, we would come and we would repent towards you. And Lord, if there's something that you're asking us to do that we're not doing, will we submit to your authority and your way in our life? Why, Lord? Because we want you to move powerfully. You want to know why, Lord, we ask for this? Because we know that there's battles ahead. We know that there's battles ahead, but we also know this, that with you, all things are possible. That if we fear you, we don't have to fear man. We don't have to fear the future of what's coming down the pike. Because we have you. Why? Because we're on your side. We're on your side. Lord, if there's one that's not on your side today, give them the faith to believe and trust in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. The altar is open. What an excellent song for this. Let this song speak to you.
I want to be close, close to your side. So heaven is real and death is alive. I want to hear voices of angels above singing.
I'm not afraid.
none can stand before him. The demons have to run in fear. Look, we don't want to poke the devil, but listen, when I'm on his side, the devil's got to run. Amen? Claim the name of Jesus. Speak it out loud in your circumstances. In the name of Jesus. Not in I will or you, or you know what? In the name of Jesus, I want to overcome. When you go, go in the name of the great I am. Go out there knowing that you're on his side. Amen. I love you all. Thank you for coming, and thank you for being here. You're dismissed. God bless you.